Jesus who is present with us. Today is also Ascension Sunday in the church calendar year, and we're going to be recognizing that and celebrating that within the sermon and the scripture of the day, so we're thankful for that. Please know that next Sunday is, anybody? Pentecost Sunday. And I understand the tradition for many is to wear red on Pentecost Sunday, so we can have a sea of red, maybe, from the bottom of your feet where you have red shoes on. Maybe I know someone here has those, to, I guess if you wore a red hat, ladies, you can get in. I don't know. But it'll be an enjoyable time as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday next Sunday. I'd like to make sure to recognize and thank Bob for the blessing that he is when he shares the music, the prelude with us. That's always a wonderful blessing. We have the praise team with us this morning. That's another musical, wonderful blessing. This coming Wednesday, Harbor of Joy is hosting Curdy. She is a connected to this church. She's also a wonderful speaker. I've listened to her on podcasts, so we're thankful for that. It's a fellowship evening. It's a potluck evening. So if you'd like to come, there's an announcement in the bulletin about that. But I have one question for you. I won't be able to be there with you because of a prior engagement, but I have one question for you that you can ask her. Here it is. How many field goals did she kick on her boys' high school football team? Think about that one for a little while. Okay, some more highlights, obviously. Today, we're also having the installation of the intentional interim. That'd be me, Al, the president of the congregation, will do that. That's in the order of worship. It'll come after the Apostles' Creed, just to let you know that as well. And at this time, I'd just like to invite you into a time of prayer. God, we thank you. Ascended Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence amongst us, for the blessing you are into our community. We thank you that here at Harbor of Joy, we reflect upon that blessing of you ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, in all glory and honor. We recognize that. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that will be moving amongst us as we worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together as the praise team gathers, and we sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. As you see it coming up on the screen, please join in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary,
was suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Community to be seated as Al comes forward. The installation is a tradition within many denominations, including the Lutheran Church that we're a part of. And the installation service is a litany you'll see coming up on the screen. You'll have a response part and the latter part, but Al's going to lead us as the president of the congregation at this time.
Pastor Chris, in the presence of the family of the Harbor of Joy Lutheran Church, will you commit yourself to being the intentional interim pastor and discharge your duties in harmony with the scriptures, Lutheran confession, and constitution of Harbor and Joy?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you love, serve, lead in prayer for the people of God at Harbor of Joy by nourishing them with the word and holy sacraments?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you lead these people of God in giving faithful witness to the world and making known the love of God through loving service in this congregation?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
People of Harbor of Joy, you will receive this messenger of Jesus Christ sent by God to serve his people with a gospel of hope and salvation. Will you regard Chris as a servant of Jesus and a steward of the ministries of God? Will you pray for him, help and honor him in the work of intentional interim ministry, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Jesus? If so, answer.
Yes.
Pastor Chris, the calling of intentional interim pastor is now committed to you by Holy God, who has given you the will to do these things. May he give you the power of his Spirit so that you may perform them with strength and compassion. And all of God's people said,
amen. Thank you, Al, very much. It's a blessing to be able to be formally received as it was. And that's part of our tradition, as I indicated earlier, the tradition of the Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ that we're a member association of. And we're thankful for that, that we have some of these traditions that we uphold that many churches have let fall by the wayside, but I'm thankful that Harbor of Joy was willing to have that just moment, brief moment in the life of a church to honor and do the installation part of the service. And I pray you'll take those words to heart that Al shared, that I shared, and that you shared as well. Well, please know I am joyful to be able to be here with you this morning. Every Sunday morning is a special blessing. A pastor once told me that every Sunday should be recognized as a mini Easter, a celebration of the life of Jesus Christ. And we're gathered here to do that. I want to make sure that many of you who have welcomed me into your home or met me here at Harbor of Joy in the Every Home Visit ministry, I appreciate you. I appreciated you having me in your home or meeting me here at church. I've heard some very heartfelt messages from you, and I deeply respect that and take it to heart as well. So many of you have shared of your hopes and your dreams, of your pains as well, about the past, but about the blessings of the present and future of Harbor of Joy. And I want to hear from everyone. So far, I've been able to visit 20 households. That includes 29 individuals. I get that right. Yep, 29 individuals. So I'm thankful for that. But there are many more visitations to do. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship area. Oh, by the way, in recognition of Installation Sunday, they have a special fellowship time arranged for us. I understand there's a great bagel breakfast bar. So make sure to come and enjoy. You won't even have to go out to lunch after all of that. So take time for that. But while you're there, take time to sign up if you have yet to do so for another opportunity, an opportunity to have me in your home or to meet me here. I would greatly appreciate it. And the body of Christ is assisted by those visits. So thank you for those opportunities. But this morning, I have the joy of being here present with you, present with those that are online. We are always thankful that people join the church online when they can't be here in person to partake in the blessings of Jesus Christ. Presence is important. presence in our mind, our body, and our soul, our emotion. It's important to be present with Jesus Christ. So thank you for being here, especially here on this Ascension Sunday. Ascension Sunday doesn't get highlighted in the church very much, not like Pentecost Sunday or Easter Sunday or even Christmas. But Ascension Sunday is vital for us because Jesus, as you'll hear in a while, gave us some commands, some marching orders in his post-resurrection time. But I have a rhetorical question for you. If you had the opportunity to sit down with Jesus, as the disciples did 2,000 years ago after he was resurrected, if you had the opportunity to sit down in Jesus, what question would you ask him? Contemplate that. Again, it's a rhetorical question, just something for you to contemplate. What question would you ask Jesus? In the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 1, we find answers to that question that has challenged people for a long time. And Jesus' answer to his disciples, the question that they have, may help us. I'd like to read to you our focus text for this morning, found in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Hear these words. In my former book, Theopolis, let me go back to that right there. How many of you know who that is? Well, it's not a person. It's a reference to a person. Theo meaning of God, it's the Greek. And then Opolis, it was a way to recognize a friend of God. Scholars believe this is Luke's reference to a friend in a high place in the Roman government, even a governor. So this is where we get that point there. Continuing on. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Remember in the scriptures, when we know this, there's a mandate, a command from God, we take it seriously. Jesus mandated to us that we celebrate the Lord's Supper that we'll be doing again in a couple weeks here. So this is a mandate, a command for us. And Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Big question. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's take a moment in prayer. God, we thank you for your word, the power that is in your word. May it become living in our heart and in our mind and in our actions each day. Amen. Again, if you had the opportunity to be with Jesus, to see Jesus, to speak with him, what question would you ask? I'm sure each one of us may have a different question for Jesus. Why did he create mosquitoes? That'd be a good one. Or why has it not rained in so many days here? The farmers want some rain. We would have all kinds of questions to ask Jesus. But in our single focus text that I just read, we have the record of that last opportunity the disciples had with Jesus to have him in their physical presence in order to ask him an important question. Here he was, the greatest rabbi, the greatest teacher who ever walked this earth, whose disciples walked with him for 3 years, and they didn't get all his teachings. They were probably peppering him with questions during those 3 years all the time, but they weren't always listening. And that's a struggle some of us have. We hear what's going on, but we don't always listen to what's going on. And the disciples maybe were of that nature, that they didn't listen to the teachings of Jesus, which caused them then to ask that major question. But now it came down to his departure time when Jesus would ascend into the heavens. And they had one more question. I'd like to spend the next hour looking at that question. Oh, did I say an hour? I pray it won't seem like an hour. So if you got your stopwatch out, be cautious. Anyways, we're told that the disciples who were gathered in Jerusalem and were with Jesus, they had the promise of the Father given to them. Let me reread part of the scripture I just read a moment ago, just verses 3-5. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Imagine the man you'd been walking with for 3 years, who you saw crucified on the cross on Good Friday. He is now walking with you, but he had to prove it, according to some scriptural references. And this is establishing that. Convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. 40 days is the recognition of the ascension. That would have been this past Thursday. From Easter Sunday until Thursday would have been 40 days. But Thursday is not on a Sunday, so it's hard to have Ascension Sunday on a Thursday. So we're having it now, just to let you know. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I get goosebumps when I read that. I can only imagine the disciples gathered when they heard that, like, wow, we're going beyond John's baptism, that style, into the power of this Holy Spirit you've been talking about. I wonder what that's going to be like. But they heard these words. In those few verses that I just read, we could spend really another hour just talking about those few verses because they're so impactful. And they express something that's also difficult for us, even Christians, to do, is to wait. To wait upon the Lord. There's many songs that reference waiting that Christians can sing. And I think that's true to have all those songs because we sometimes have trouble waiting on the Lord. We want to take action. After all, if we've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, we've been anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so why should we wait? Let's get going. Well, even God in Scripture, even Jesus, his Son, tells us to wait. Take a deep breath, be patient, and walk with me. As an intentional interim here, that's part of my calling, is to walk with you. But things won't happen overnight. You won't see much happen overnight. So sometimes we have to wait for the goodness of God to flow and see what he has in store for us. The Bible acknowledges that Jesus was about to leave. I can only imagine the disciples who now got Jesus back from the grave. And you're leaving again? Come on! Again, they weren't listening to his teachings of those 3 years. Just imagine if Jesus reacted with these kind of modern words that I'm going to read right now. I'm leaving, you're staying. What I want you to do right now is not to go about the highways and the byways and do evangelism then. I don't want you to care for the orphans and the widows right now, but hold on and just wait. I actually want you to hang out right here in Jerusalem for a short time. Be patient and just wait.
Lord.
But Jesus, in his saying this, I can imagine Peter sitting there. You know Peter, Thunder. He's antsy about a lot of things. I can imagine him jumping in to Jesus' conversation with the other disciples. And maybe Peter jumped in and interrupted Jesus, but then Jesus pulled him back and talked about the promise of God the Father. And that should settle anybody down, including Peter, when the Son of God is talking about the promises of the Father. The promise that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have no idea if they understood that at that time, what that would mean. But it was this mandate given by Jesus that they presented this last question after that. What do you think they would have asked? It was a moment some 2,000 years ago. I would think those first disciples would be going like, well, tell me, Jesus, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit like? Or what kind of power are we going to get poured on us? Or how does it differ from John's baptism of water, this Holy Spirit deal you're talking about? Or what's it like where you're going? Or what are you going to do when you get there? Those may be some solid options, but they were not the question raised by the disciples. They had a much deeper question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? What a powerful question. They asked a question about the kingdom. They asked a question about Israel. They asked a profound question about the restoration as well. The disciples were all aware of the prophecies regarding the reference of the restoration of Israel found in the what we call the Old Testament. They, like every other pious Jew down through the centuries, would look forward to the day when the glory of Israel would return. Amos prophesied about it. He talked about the fallen booth of David and how it would be righted so that all Jews would know that. But at their present time, David's kingdom was still under the suppression of the Roman government that controlled much of the world at that time. There had been no restoration of the kingdom of Israel while Jesus, the King of Kings, walked the earth, or even on that day of ascension. This is why, possibly, so many people were disappointed initially in Jesus. They looked to him to bring the kingdom of Israel, to restore it, and make them the ones to be looked upon, not the Romans. That fallen booth I mentioned earlier, there's a reference in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, that gives us insight into prophecy about this. Many of us are aware of the large stone columns that were part of the Roman world. They're found in modern-day Turkey and other parts of Europe. They're called the Corinthian Column, and it's coming up on the screen. Maybe some of you have been to Europe, maybe modern-day Turkey, and you've seen these columns either upright or laying on the ground. Well, today, they're still beautiful works of art that were carved out by people centuries ago. But many are laying on their side, as this picture demonstrates, sort of the debris of the earth. Yet for some, when they see these columns, these Corinthian columns lying on the earth, they still can imagine the words from the prophet Amos, who had in his prophecy the return of the kingdom of Israel in reference to David. King David once reigned in glorious splendor, and now David's throne was turned over like these columns got turned over. And some of them were turned over 2,000 years ago. It wasn't like it was just recent time. The prophet Amos spoke about the word of the Lord that someday God would restore the throne of David in all its glory. And for centuries, Jewish people thought that the historic moment would have been when Jesus was there. And others continue to wait. And now when Jesus is about to ascend, as Scripture tells us, to ascend to the right hand of the Father, the disciples ask, is it now? Are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you going to do it? They were probably a little antsy about their future and what was going to happen. Are you going to restore the throne of David? Are you going to restore the kingdom to the people of Israel? That's an important point, the people of Israel. Not the Roman government, but the people of Israel. The disciples were thinking about kingdom strictly in the worldly way, not in the heavenly way, not in the eternal way. They hadn't grasped in fullness the teachings of their rabbi, Jesus. During his lifetime, he proclaimed the kingdom of God would go far beyond the borders of Israel. But again, were they listening to his teachings? One who came from the line of David, Jesus Christ, would initiate the kingdom that would have no end, that would be powerfully in spirit, but at the same time have implications in this world. The disciples forgot what Jesus had taught him, and Jesus has taught us as well. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We're going to share in it later. When he said, when you pray, pray like this: Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They must not have clearly listened to what Jesus was saying. Jesus reigns right now. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we worship him. But for us, these first disciples and us have a connection. We love the kingdom to return tomorrow. At least I would. By the way, my mother gets very disturbed when I say something like that, because then she understands there's death, physical death. I'm ready to meet Jesus whenever he calls me home. It'll be the most glorious day to be with him in eternity, to see the kingdom of God reign one day here on earth as it is in heaven. And this Ascension Sunday, the ascension of Jesus so long ago, is in reference to this. But his first disciples didn't get it. They didn't get about how the kingdom comes. And when he consummates it, Jesus brings the new heaven and the new earth and the glory of the kingdom in its fullness to all who believe. We still look forward to that day, this day. But on a particular day, some of us would say to God, because we're struggling, Lord, when are you going to do it? Restore the kingdom, please. I could stop right now, and you're looking at your watch maybe, but I need to address a question that the disciples had in Acts chapter 1. Let me first tell you what I believe Jesus did not say. Now please know that everything that Jesus said and did, everything that God said and did in that realm of Scripture has not been written down. There's not enough pages in the world that could hold that all. But let me tell you what I believe he may have not said. Jesus didn't jump down the disciples' throat. How many times do I have to tell you that I'm not going to restore the kingdom of Israel? How many times do I have to tell you that from now on the Jews have no part of my kingdom? How many times do I have to tell you that my kingdom is completely spiritual? That was not what he did. Listen again to what Jesus said in verses 7 and 8. It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If there is ever a thematic couple verses in the book of Acts, these are it. These give us marching orders as well. They define the entire book in these verses that I just read of 7 and 8. They're powerful. And I'm sure many of you are aware parts of this Christian church recognize these verses as the second Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission, many of us have heard from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. and I am with you always to the very end of age. That passage from Matthew is powerful, but this post-resurrection passage that we have in the book of Acts is powerful as well. In a sense, it gives the church the marching orders to go out. And if I may, Jesus said, it's none of your business when the kingdom of heaven is consummated. That's my Father's business. That's in his hands. No matter what you hear in your life, and I've heard it many times, when people would say, oh, the second coming of Jesus is going to happen on May 12th. Sarah and I were living in California when that was a huge wave of thought. I forget what years, 2010, 11, something like that. A gentleman, a pastor in San Francisco, predicted the return of Jesus. People in his congregation actually sold everything they own in preparation for it. When it didn't happen, as we know it didn't, he said his math was off. Okay. Only the Father knows. Scripture tells us that. Why would any of us think we know more than God the Father and try to predict something of that nature? But Jesus gave us marching orders. In my absence, be my witness in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this area is definitely not the ends of the earth. This area's got a lot going on, and I'm so thankful that Sarah and I can be part of this community, Harbor of Joy, and the larger community, as so many of you are. We aren't seeing the end times right now, but we're called to be prepared. We're called to know Jesus in our heart. We're called to walk with Jesus and talk about Jesus and be inviters to others into a life with Jesus. Jesus was basically talking about his coronation when he ascended. He was going to receive the crown of glory. And what a powerful thing for us to acknowledge on this Ascension Sunday. The mission of this church, the reason Harbor of Joy exists, is to bear witness to the presence of Jesus Christ. Not just in the church, but in our lives. We're called to bear witness to that. To tell our personal faith story to people that don't know who Jesus is. To recognize that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, wearing his crown of glory, and blessing us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And please know, if we try to do the mission of the church on our own, we're going to fail. But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus referenced that we can succeed. It's only through his power and his movements in our own life that we're open to, that we as children of God can succeed as well. So what are we empowered with? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to highlight that this coming Sunday on Pentecost Sunday. Don't forget to wear red if you're willing to. And we'll have that celebration, the celebration and recognition of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remind ourselves of that great commission that can only be carried forth through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And through our home church, the church that Sarah and I participate in, the Phoenix, Arizona area, it's called Hope Church. Actually, a gentleman, Paul Sorensen, is a pastor here. He grew up in Iowa. His mom and dad were directors at the camp. That was Connie and Jean Sorensen. And then his brother Mark and sister-in-law Tanya were camp directors after that. So we have this unique connection to y'all in this area. But at our home church, we look at the bigger picture as you do as well. Part of the bigger picture there is a movement of the Holy Spirit through missionaries, people that God sends out and the local church supports. The church there has a missionary family that went to Mozambique. If you didn't know this, Mozambique is a Muslim nation, heavily. They went there intentionally to share the love of Jesus Christ. They were there for nearly 5 years before they started seeing large movements of the Holy Spirit. And since that movement has happened, not just a few Muslims were baptized into the kingdom of God, not just dozens, not just hundreds, but thousands upon thousands. They're having exponential growth in the body of Christ through the movement of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves and shapes us as we support them, as it moves and shapes you as you support Patty as she's on her 20th trip, I believe, to Tanzania, in part representing you, Harbor of Joy, the body of Christ, because we support her and we support that mission and ministry. So we're part of the larger kingdom of God in that relationship. Not all of us can go to Tanzania, but we can support those willing to go. Not all of us can go to Mozambique, but we can support those willing to go and to love others in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The continent of Africa is the largest growth area of the Christian church in recent decades, and it's projected to continue to go. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for your support of Patty and her ministry. I know some of you have went there as well. Thank you for willingness to step out and step into what God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has moved you to do. As you continue, as Harbor of Joy continues to support this important ministry, people here in America, churches here in America, need to follow your lead in doing so, so that the kingdom of God can be expanded on all continents and all people's groups, no matter where they are, if they're Muslim or not, that Jesus Christ can reach them with his love because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We remember the words of Jesus, the command of Jesus, to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. Sometimes I forget Samaria in there for those that are picky. But to the ends of the earth, God calls us out to do his will in his way. Now in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we also recognize Jesus was taken up in a cloud and he was out of their sight. The cloud is referenced as the Shekinah cloud. So it comes from the Hebrew, actually, as foretold in the book of Daniel. So can you imagine yourself being a disciple of Jesus back 2,000 years ago or so, and standing there and Jesus is ascending to the heavens and then disappears in a cloud? Well, this cloud was foretold in the book of Daniel. We're going hundreds of years beforehand. Another prophecy coming true. That Hebrew understanding of the cloud is important because it's defined in Hebrew as the dwelling of the divine, a divine place, meaning that Jesus, that God was present in that cloud as he ascended. Jesus came to earth physically, of course, through the virgin birth with Mary. He suffered a brutal death by human standard, as you all recognize that on Good Friday, before his rising again on Easter Sunday. He has risen? Oh, thank you very much. I slid that in there to see if you were paying attention still. So thank y'all. It's wonderful to recognize that Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, looking out for you and for me, empowering us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God took him up in a cloud, his Father did, to place him next to him. I'm sure the disciples stood transfixed at this happening. I can only equate this to something in the modern day, at least for myself, and Sarah has seen this too, and maybe you've experienced as well a launching of a rocket ship or a spaceship. And maybe you've been there down by Johnson or something like that, but for us, Vandenberg Space Force Base, out in California, is a place where Elon Musk launches SpaceX rockets from, and that's a picture of one of them. And you look in the sky, and first you wonder what's going on, and then you realize it's a rocket launch. And you watch, and you watch, and you watch in amazement of what man is gifted by God to do. I remember saying to myself, this is just amazing. Amazing what God can do. And then the contrail goes away and it's vanished. The rocket ship's long gone, its contrail's long gone. But you acknowledge that. As the disciples, I'm sure 2,000 years ago, after Jesus ascended, after they saw the cloud, after they continued to stare up, They tried to acknowledge what was going on, but it took two messengers, two angels, to come to them and tell them, don't just stand here with your head looking up in the sky. Let's get to work. But they had to wait, remember, for the Spirit that we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. So what is it for us? Well, we have times of waiting, and we have times of working. If the Spirit has called you into a time of waiting, follow the Spirit. If the Spirit has led you into a time of working in His kingdom, work in His kingdom and be blessed by the Holy Spirit as you fulfill the Great Commission. I'm going to offer a prayer at this time, but I invite the praise team to come forward and prepare for the songs we're going to sing. But for those of us remaining in the pews, I would ask you to bow your heads in prayer as I offer a prayer. God, what are we to do? We're to ask you to give us daily guidance, to move us through the power of the Holy Spirit, to do what Jesus has called us to do. God, I ask that you cause us not to just stare into space, but to be active saints here on earth until the day you call us to heaven. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Please join in singing as we sing Ancient of Days, and then we're singing a song right after that, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Community to stand at this time for a time of prayer, and then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together before our sending song. So God, we enter into this time of prayer. We thank you for this time that we are together in your presence. We ask that you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us this morning and throughout the week as we live out your love to all that we meet. And this morning, Lord, We give thanks for the beautiful altar paraments that the Harbor of Joy Altar Guild designed, bought material for, sewed and presented to you and us. We see them on the altar as well as the display in the back of your church. Thank you, Lord, for the creative and dedicated people here at Harbor. And Jesus, we ask you to move us to serve you locally, regionally, and internationally. As we serve locally, we ask you to bless this coming Wednesday's fellowship potluck and the guest speaker, Curdy. And as we serve internationally, we support those that are doing so in prayer and finances. We so appreciate Patty and her ministry and all those connected to it as she travels for the 20th time to Tanzania. She's been called by the Spirit, your Spirit, Lord. So continue to bless her and all those connected to that ministry here at Harbor as well as in Tanzania. And God, we give you thanks for the safe and successful electrical panel upgrade here at your church. We're thankful the electricians completed the task safely, and we ask you to guide us in the small redesign of the lobby. May you guide us to continually enhance this campus so that people can experience your love, especially your love expressed in prayer, especially the prayer you taught us as we join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from
praise team. How many of you know the hand motions to that song? Just a few of you. You know them. I saw you guys doing them, so thank you. If you went through Via de Cristo or Curcio, you would know them. Anyways, they were taught at that time. That was a long time ago. I'm getting old. Receive the benediction. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'll see you at the bagel bar.